Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, a free, daily, 30-minute program designed to help you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America's Learning English branch in Washington. Today on the program, we start at the beginning of our popular series, The Making of a Nation. There are 240 15-minute long programs in the series, and you will hear program number one today. We'll tell you more in a moment. We begin our program today with a report on how the American military plans to deal with the possibility of a war with a large nation while it fights terrorism. The Pentagon has released its new National Military Strategy, and we will tell you all about it. Later, you will hear Jonathan Evans' technology report. This week, he tells us about a decision by Russian officials to ban Internet users in the country from being able to access a large database of stored web pages called the Wayback Machine. The Russian government says the block is needed to keep dangerous information from reaching young Internet users. But free speech activists argue the ban is just the latest move by the government to remove anything on the Internet it finds objectionable. And as always, we will present the making of a nation. As I noted a moment ago, today's Making of a Nation program is a special one. We are presenting the first program of the 11-month-long series. We will play all of the programs in order, Monday through Friday, until the end of June 2016, when it will start all over again. Every day here at VOA Learning English, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We are a little different here at VOA Learning English, because we exist to help you learn everyday American English. We speak a little slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills. So let's get started, shall we? We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. The United States military says it must prepare to deal with two different threats at the same time. The threats come from aggressive moves by Russia and China, and the influence of extremist groups like the self-proclaimed Islamic State. Experts say it will not be easy for the military to do. This month, U.S. Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter spoke to soldiers at Fort Bragg in the state of North Carolina. He says their skills and experiences of fighting terrorists in Iraq and Afghanistan will be useful in future conflicts. He says the military is moving into a different direction in the future, where we try to capture what we learned. And we learned a lot in the course of those two wars, and turn that skill and that experience to the kinds of conflicts that are going to determine our future. In June, American military officials published a new national military strategy after 4 years. The document says the threat of a war with another country is low but growing. It says the American military will closely watch Russia, Iran, North Korea, and China. Brian Clark is a former U.S. Navy strategist. He is now a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments. The center researches security and defense issues. Mr. Clark says Russia, Iran, North Korea, and China have security goals that are likely to conflict with those of the U.S. in the near future. He says the American strategy is changing because of Russia's aggression in Eastern Europe and China's activities in the South China Sea. The U.S. must prepare to fight a war with a large country while fighting terrorists at the same time. The strategy document says Iran, Russia, and North Korea are threats to world peace. But it describes China differently. It says the United States wants to help China grow. It hopes a strong China will help increase international security. But that does not mean the military believes there is no risk of conflict with China. In Mr. Clark's words, the American military sees China as a much more significant threat to U.S. national security interests. China has a larger economy and more population than other nations. He notes that China has advanced military weapons similar to Russia, and many more of them. And China is moving aggressively against American allies in the South China Sea. Defense Secretary Carter says the U.S. military must be able to deal with challenges in more than one area. He says the country needs a military that is not only big enough, but has enough equipment and well-trained troops. And he says military pay must be high enough to attract and keep good troops. Whatever happens, the American military will need to meet the challenges with fewer soldiers than it has now. The Defense Department has announced plans to reduce the size of the Army by 40,000 soldiers. Now, our weekly look at the latest technology news. Internet users in Russia will no longer be able to access a large database of stored web pages. Our technology correspondent Jonathan Evans tells us critics say the new restriction apparently resulted from a single website that government officials do not like.
Russia's Attorney General gave the order to block the website known as the Wayback Machine. The official said the country has rules that bar young people from sites that contain sexually related material or extremist activities. The Wayback Machine stores images of web pages from as early as 1996. It contains almost 500 billion stored images. The Russian government says the block is needed to keep dangerous information from reaching young internet users. But free speech activists argue the ban is just the latest move by the government to remove anything on the internet it finds objectionable. A group known as the Russian Pirate Party blames a stored web page called Solitary Jihad in Russia for the blockage. The web page states that Islamic law must be instituted all across the world. A Russian internet agency blocked the website in June. The agency says the blockage is needed to protect boys and girls. But the Wayback Machine still contains an earlier image of the webpage. Russian authorities said they had no choice but to ban the Wayback Machine. RUBlacklist.net reports access to the site was blocked at the end of June. The Internet Archive, a nonprofit group, hosts the Wayback Machine. The American technology company Google says the site's database has over 35 trillion web pages. Researchers and others use it to see what websites looked like at different times in the past. The Wayback Machine captures images of web pages from all over the world. The database also gives readers a chance to read news reports and compare them with their local media. Over the last year, Russia has increased its censorship of the internet. In May, a Russian agency sent letters to the U.S.-based web services Twitter, Facebook, and Google. The letters asked for large amounts of private information on Russians who use their services. They also asked for the removal of web pages that called for unsanctioned protest in Russia. The Russian government has also banned websites operated by opposition party leaders and independent media. Recently, a member of the Russian parliament called for a complete ban on the social media site Facebook. He was critical of Facebook's app that lets supporters of same-sex marriage add a rainbow filter to their profile pictures. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. And that's As It Is for this Monday, July 27th, 2015. Every day on As It Is, we report on issues that we believe are of interest to you. We go in depth on the latest news events as we report on issues that concern you. We want to hear what interests you. Tell us what you want to hear about. You may hear stories about your interests on a future show. Our email address is learningenglish@voanews.com. That's learningenglish@voanews.com. Please know that we read every message you send us. The Making of a Nation is coming up next. As we noted earlier, it is program number one. We begin what is now an 11-month-long series of 240 15-minute-long programs. You won't find programs like this anywhere else. You'll hear from Steve Ember, the host of the program. Steve worked at The Voice of America for almost 30 years. He retired more than a year ago, but we are lucky that he stays in touch with his former colleagues. The Making of a Nation began in 1969, and at one time was heard weekly, then twice a week. It is now heard every day Monday through Friday. It tells about the social changes, events, documents, and personalities that shaped the United States and helped it have an influence on world history. And it explains the reasons the country's leaders made their decisions. The Making of a Nation, Show Number 1, begins shortly. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz, reporting from the VOA Learning English headquarters in Washington. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time to help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. Today we start our series again from the beginning. The Making of a Nation started in May of 1969. Some long-time listeners can remember when The Making of a Nation was on the radio twice a week. People who grew up listening to it are old enough now to listen with their own children, or even their grandchildren. The series tells a story. You can think of it not just as a series of programs about the history of America and its people, but a series of lessons. The subjects include exploration, revolution, civil war, social and political change, the rise of industry and modern technology, and more. As time adds to the story of American history, we add to our series. Over the last year, we took our series in a new direction. We added more sound from the people who made history in the 20th century.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. United States of America.
Throughout the long and difficult period of Watergate, I have felt it was my duty to persevere, to make every possible effort to complete the term of office.
More sound from popular culture and entertainment.
That's what's wrong with you. You should be kissed and often, and by someone who knows how.
Oh, and I suppose you think you're the proper person.
But your daddy lacked the killer instinct. He forgave those who transgressed against him. People just weren't afraid of him.
You're going to get me back on the television show.
I will, Ricky. I'll get you back on the show. Don't even think of what you'll do if I die.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed works.
And more sound from the events that define the times.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France.
General Dwight Eisenhower.
This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe.
On June 5th, 1944, a huge Allied force waited for the order to invade German-occupied France. All eyes turned toward Eisenhower. The decision was his. His face was serious, and for a long time he was silent. Finally, he spoke. "Okay," he said, "we will go." In a sense, The Making of a Nation is living history. Our programs are still broadcast on radio, but now, thanks to one of the defining events in modern history, the invention of the Internet, they are also available online. So, how was the nation made? Why did people rebel against one nation and start their own? The Making of a Nation answers these and other questions about American history. We will tell the story of how a group of farmers businessmen, and lawyers wrote a document they called the Constitution of the United States. On September 17, 1787, delegates to the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia met one last time to sign it. The Constitution became a guide not just for Americans, but also for other governments in creating democracies. We will explore why the writers of the Constitution included guarantees of freedom of speech and religion, and the right to a fair and public trial. We will also talk about the reasons for the American Revolution. One of the most important reasons was the idea that citizens of a country should have a voice in its decisions. British citizens in the American colonies paid taxes but had no representatives in the British Parliament. Taxation without representation would lead to growing anger in the American colonies. The leaders of the revolt made important changes. For example, all free men who owned land and paid taxes were permitted to vote. Not until 1920, however, did the Constitution guarantee women the right to vote. Later, another change lowered the voting age for Americans from 21 to 18. Our programs will explain the thinking behind these and other rights. They will also tell the story of each presidential election and presidency in American history. The Making of a Nation explores the good and the bad in American history. For example, how could slavery exist in a nation whose people declared that all men are created equal and with a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Many of our programs explore the ideas and issues that have shaped the United States. But most importantly, they talk about the people. For example, George Washington was a farmer before he became a military commander. He became president because the citizens of the new country wanted him as their first leader. After two terms, Washington gave up power by his own choice. He once again became a farmer and a private citizen. In his farewell address in 1796, he warned Americans about the dangers of political parties. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. It told the world that the people of this new country would no longer answer to a European ruler. Some of the people who formed the United States into a nation during the 1700s were well-educated and wealthy. Abraham Lincoln was not. Still, he grew up to become president. Abraham Lincoln became president during the 1860s when several Southern states decided they no longer wanted to be part of the Union. We tell the story of how President Lincoln dealt with the terrible Civil War that almost split the country apart. One of our programs will focus on the speech he gave in the little town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. A great battle had been fought there. President Lincoln had been asked to come to Gettysburg to say a few words at the dedication of a military burial ground. The speech was short. President Lincoln honored the young men who had died on that bloody battlefield. He also told the world why the war was being fought and why it was so important. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address began with these words. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Those words were just the first sentence. After President Lincoln wrote the speech, he felt sad. He considered it a failure. In fact, his words earned the respect of history. You can hear the full Gettysburg Address on our programs about the life and presidency of Abraham Lincoln. The Making of a Nation touches on many different subjects. One of them is social change. For example, we discuss the changes that took place during the so-called Roaring Twenties. In the 1920s, many young people decided they no longer needed to follow the conservative traditions of their parents and grandparents. This was also the age of jazz. But music and social values were not the only things changing. The Roaring Twenties were also a time of fast-moving economic change. Productivity grew sharply. At the same time, the divide between rich and poor Americans grew wider. By the end of the 20s, the economy was ready to collapse. Then, in October of 1929, the stock market crashed. What followed was an economic disaster worse than any the modern world has ever known. We'll examine the causes of the Great Depression and how it affected Americans and the rest of the world. We'll tell the story of people who lost their jobs, their homes, and their hope for the future.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Franklin Roosevelt was elected with a promise to bring the country out of the Depression. On March 4, 1933, he was inaugurated to his first of four terms. He served longer than any other president in American history. We discuss Roosevelt's New Deal programs and his leadership during World War II. But not all of our subjects are so serious. We also look at the history of American popular culture.
Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure, pour me a cup, Gracie.
The most popular sound of the 1930s was a new kind of music called swing. And the king of swing was a clarinet player named Benny Goodman. In music, the rebel was Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
Oh yeah, I tell you something, I think you'll understand.
Let me hear your idea again.
Okay, I want us to watch Jack Lemmon and a group of famous scientists discuss pollution and ecology on Channel 13.
Good. And I want to watch football highlights on Channel 2. Now, guess what's going to happen?
And we discuss subjects like the rise of high technology. On July 16th, 1969, three American astronauts lifted off in Apollo 11. In other words, something for everyone. You can find our series online with texts, MP3s, podcasts, and pictures at voaspecialenglish.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember, inviting you to join us for The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English.